Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
I almost said Leah.
I'm Heather.
It's Heather. It's not Leah. So, Heather, Jenny is home off the heels of Authors in the Bluegrass. How was it for you?
It was really great. I had a very enjoyable time. I was able to see everybody I wanted. And I was pretty much in and out in a few hours.
That's nice. But you went for lower key authors. You were not looking. Right. You weren't there to line for.
No, none of the wristband authors were on my list. Yeah. And my strategy was to wait until the doors opened, and then we went to registration. So we just walked straight up to registration and into the doors.
That makes so much sense. We've kind of learned that over the course of the last year, that wait until registration, like the doors open, and then go, because the lines are so much more manageable.
Yes.
Heather, did you do anything exciting this weekend?
We did apple pressing with some hockey families today. We made homemade apple cider.
Okay. That feels very like Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. It was very, we were out in the garage and all the hockey boys. It was fun. Yeah.
How fun.
I know. So I think what's hard, like you kind of get this with hockey romance, but we spend from like October to March with these people like multiple times a week. So they become like your family. You see them all the time. Yeah. So it was fun.
Fun. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Did the apple cider taste?
So it tastes like very, very fresh apple juice. And so then she had like, you know, there was like Fireball, like not for the kids, obviously, but she to put the cinnamon, she puts like the hot, like the little cinnamon.
Red Hot.
Oh, the candies. Yes.
And that worked. And so we just came home. We got like a couple gallons and then or like a gallon or whatever. And I just put cinnamon sticks in there to kind of make it a little bit, you know. But it was good.
Okay. So if you're in the mood to bake, take Granny Smith apples, slice them up. Mm-hmm. You could half them, core them, half them, put them in a baking pan, sprinkle Red Hots on top of them, and then pour a can of cherry 7-Up on them and bake them.
Yum.
They will be the most delicious baked cinnamon apples you've ever had in your entire life. Jenny's like, you're insane and doesn't believe me.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah, I'm like, not sure.
I do love cinnamon apples, though. They're like my favorite.
When I was a kid, one of my uncles worked for like a food distributor, and they had these baked apples in a jar. They were so yummy. And it was a highlight when he would send us a case. And then the company, you know, went out of business, dissolved, whatever. So I had seen a couple years ago, I saw that recipe. Gosh, it's probably 20 years ago. I saw that recipe with the apples and the Red Hots and the cherry 7-Up. And I'm like, no way. It was so good. It was so good. Just bake them in the oven. They get like,
I'm gonna try it.
They don't, they get sugary and glazed from the cherry 7-Up has to be the regular, not diet. And then with the Red Hots, you get that like sugar coating on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so yummy.
I'm down.
Jenny doesn't believe me. It's fine. It's fine.
I'll let my kids do it. I am not a baker.
Okay. So I think it was Gretchen asked over in Discord for something cozy. She wanted us to define something cozy, and I didn't really look hard, but I wanted to talk about the term cozy because we're seeing this come up a lot in front of subgenres, right? Like there's always been the cozy mystery subgenre that's existed. Yeah. You know, we've had the Stephanie Ivanovich, the chocolate chip cookie murders, like lots of things have cozy mysteries. Like we've seen those for at least the last 25 years, right? But now we're seeing it in front of other things. Cozy fantasy, cozy monsters, cozy. What else? I don't know. We talked about cozy fall reads.
Uh-huh.
I think what it's what by putting the word cozy, I think it gives a couple of things, right? It makes you realize that it's probably going to be a low entry, low angst read. You know,
yeah.
If I say a cozy monster, it's not quite a rom-com, but it's not as heavy as like an Omegaverse.
That would make sense, yeah.
And so I think that, like, it doesn't mean that they're less spicy. I think it just means that less intensity to the storytelling.
And that's when I think about, like, cozy, I think, like, Hallmark fall, like, you know.
Yeah, no one's dying.
Yeah. You think about, like, a small town with the leaves and, you know, maybe apple pressing or, you know what I mean? So, like, the low angst would make sense.
But not all small towns are going to be cozy reads.
No.
Right? Like, I mean, because some are going to have. So, like, I wouldn't say Winterville by Carrie Elks is a cozy small town romance. It has Hallmark vibes, but there's a lot of emotion, a lot of angst. You know, you get a lot in those books. I wouldn't even say Maggie Gates, her Falls Creek, mm-mm, is not cozy.
No, I wouldn't either.
But Erin Nicholas, I think her Boys of the Bayou might be considered cozy.
Maybe.
I know that, like, Rebecca Gallo, her Minotaur books, it's not hardcore into the monsters. You know, we're not getting these big, giant world-building, huge descriptors. It's a cozy monster. I think that Monster Pucker that I read last year, that was the Yeti and the Krampus hockey team players, that was cozy monster. Like, we got some world-building, but it wasn't super chaotic. Like, I wouldn't say CM Nacosta's Morning Glory Milking Farm is cozy monsters, because that's some pretty intense stuff that she deals with in those books.
Yeah, I feel like it's the angst and maybe the involvement of other people. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like it's kind of like a TV show that you can turn on and, like, not be fully, like, engaged in it. So, like, it doesn't take a lot of brain power to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a feel good.
Feel good. Yep. So that's kind of why we're seeing cozy. I think it's just a way to kind of say feel good, but not rom-com.
Yeah.
So that's what cozy means. If I didn't answer your question exactly, Gretchen, just send me a DM and let me know and I'll fix it. So on this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we are diving into the topic that is both close to our hearts and also incredibly important, mental health. In honor of October being Mental Health Awareness Month, we're talking about romance book that, in our opinion, offer incredible representation of mental health challenges and triumphs. But I need to caveat this. Even though we're saying these are good mental health books, it might not be the book for you at this time, and you might have responded differently to it. You might have different expectations. I think when we get to mental health and how it's viewed and our lens in which we view some of these things like anxiety, social phobia, depression, even eating disorders and stuff like that, addiction, all of our own lived experiences are going to affect how we view how we view these stories. So it could be...
I agree.
Anxiety, depression, PTSD, other struggles. These stories remind us that love can, you can be loved even though you're having mental health struggles. But love is not a magic fix.
Correct.
Your anxiety is not going to go away just because you found an HEA. Healing... You're not going to be cured. I mean, we all know this, right? Like, mental health is the long game. there's no quick cure.
No.
And right. some good dick isn't going to fix that.
No.
I'm just saying.
It's not.
We'll highlight these books that we think get it right, and those that balance romance with real meaningful portrayals of mental health. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and let's explore these heartfelt love stories together. So mm-hmm. in your purview, mm-hmm. what makes a good mental health representation in romance? So when you go into a book and somebody says, like I say, hey, Jenny, this book, I think, has really great anxiety rep. What is it for you that would say, yes, I agree with you?
It's not front and center. Like, it's kind of underlying. It doesn't dictate everything that character does. Sometimes we kind of have to, like, dig a little to find out. That seems to be more realistic to me. I think we still live in a society where it's like, I mean, you don't need to advertise what's going on in your body and like physically, mentally, emotionally. So I think when you just see the characters dealing with it and not putting it like right out.
Do you sometimes feel that if we get a book with really good mental health rep, or one that's touted as being really good, mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to say that. We come across a book, someone says, oh my God, this had really great mental health rep in it. Do you sometimes feel like whatever the disorder is, whatever the struggle is their whole personality in the book?
I think it depends on the book.
Okay.
For sure. I agree with Jenny. Sometimes it's front and center. And then sometimes, like for me, there's a couple books I'm thinking of where it impacts this person or this character a lot. And like maybe they have multiple mental health disorders. Other ones, they are working through it and it just kind of comes up a little bit.
Okay, give us your titles that are your good examples.
So I actually just read one. It came out this week. It's called Easton by Riley Hart, and it is book 2 in the Swift Brothers series. And Easton is the second born. It deals with some pretty heavy topics. So Easton was a twin and his sister passed away when they were young. So he was dealing with his sibling's death, and his dad is a horrible human. So he has severe PTSD. And depression and anxiety, like it's all, and it really sort of encompasses him, and it makes sense because when you're 10 years old and you experience something like that and you don't have a supportive parent in the situation that doesn't help you get, you know, mental health support or like therapy, anything. And so he is living with this, and Archer comes along. And he loves him through it. And it wasn't until Easton was like, I need help. Then Archer was like, yes, you do. And then got him help. So to me, it was like, it was front and center. And he didn't feel like he deserved to be loved. And Archer helped him realize like he did deserve to be loved.
Okay. So Heather, when you go into a book and you're like, yes, that had great mental health, what is it for you that you're seeing in those books that makes you feel that?
I think that everyone handles their mental health differently. And I think sometimes people start by handling their mental health maybe in a way that isn't super healthy. And I think having them figure out the way to health, like be healthy and work through their mental health. I enjoy that because I think that journey isn't the same for every person. Sometimes it's therapy, sometimes it's meds, sometimes it's letting go of like toxic people, or you know what I mean? Like making big changes in their lives. So I think it's different for everyone. I don't like seeing someone, for lack of a better term, like being like ditzy and being like, oh, I have ADHD. I really don't like that.
Yeah. I get bored with the, it's sometimes used as a plot point, like to get us through something, like, oh, you know, I'm sad, so now I'm depressed. And then, like, but it, there were not necessarily signs in the beginning of the book. We just need it to create, like, a needy moment or something. And it's like, I don't like that. It feels convenient. And I don't ever feel like mental health should be described as a plot point. It shouldn't be a catalyst, you know, to make the hero show up and be swoony or something like that. I just, I don't know. It, that bugs me a lot. And I do think that there are some authors within their books that it becomes a plot point, a marketing tool. You know, oh, this is my character with anxiety and depression, and I wrote this whole book for them. Okay, that's great. But why do you keep talking about it? Like, the whole selling point for your book is my hero has anxiety and depression. Okay, what else about them? Because most of us are living with something, right? And we are still functioning humans, you know, working every day, you know, caring for our families, caring for our pets, caring for our parents. And it doesn't define us. You have to learn to work within your own issues, right?
Right. And right. How Jenny might work, handle her, if she has anxiety, like how one person does it doesn't mean someone else is going to find the same success.
Yeah. When I'm having a bad day. Here. Yeah. Jenny has a plethora of diagnoses. We don't got time for that. But like when I'm having a bad episode, when I'm feeling depressed, I shut everybody out. I just go really radio silent and quiet and I sleep. And then I have to force myself, or Mike has to force me to be like, okay, great. You've had a couple hours. Let's get it together, sister. You got stuff going on. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. You know, so I just, but it's not the whole plot to our relationship. You know, we didn't, I don't know. I've just read too many where it becomes a plot point instead of.
And I would agree. Like I've read somewhere depth. Like said, like, oh, suddenly they're depressed. Like you can be depressed without having depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's the thing. Depression looks very different than just being depressed.
Right. Right. Have you ever come across a story that you don't think was respectful of mental health? You don't have to name a book or anything like that. But when you come across that, is that a point in which you DNF? Or do you just let it go? I will name mine. I really struggled with Pen Pal by J.T. Geisinger. Yeah.
I didn't read it.
Did you think that was really great mental health?
That whole book was.
Yeah, I didn't think it was like it played into. Bothered me. It played into every stereotype. It played into every, like, you know.
I mean, I'm still stuck on the broccoli aliens. Like, that could be my own issues. But yeah, I would agree.
I mean, it's not a romance, but, you know, she is a romance author, and lots of people categorize it like that because, spoiler alert, you guys, I'm going to spoil this. They die and they are together in the afterlife.
I haven't read it.
So. It's not a romance. You don't need to read it, Heather. I'm saving you.
Yeah, I don't think you'd like it, Heather.
Okay, so favorite book that showcases mental health in romance. Do you have an author or a book that you always go to when you're like, this is top? Go ahead, Jenny. What do you got?
Allie Style. Like, she has it down. And she's been very open with her own mental health struggles. And again, this could be personal to me. Like, they just reflect my own lived experience with mental health. But pretty much all of her books have some element where one or more characters have mental health disorder.
Yeah. What about you, Heather? Do you have an author or a book that you think is like cream of the crop, tops of tops?
I actually have a series that I was thinking of, and it's sort of like an overarching. So there's depression, anxiety. It's the Bears Hockey series by Kelly Jameson. And she pulls in some hockey players that have dealt with some pretty big, heavy things, including grief, and them coming together. And I think having mental health is hard for everyone. But I think for men and especially professional athletes, for them to come forward and talk about their mental health. And so I think she does such a really great job of talking about it and how the male main characters kind of work through their mental health.
Yeah.
And like how they support one another.
I didn't even think about that series, but that's an excellent series.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
And I think this author is a little lighter on romance, but Abby Jimenez, she really deals a lot with emotional and mental health in her books. I mean, she brings you through it, you know, dealing with things like infertility and grief, love after loss. Her latest book, Just for the Summer, really talks about therapy and how hard it is and doing the work and all of that kind of stuff. And she does a really great job. But I'm going to be really honest. I asked today on Threads. On Threads, I asked, hey, you know, I'm looking for books. Just because this isn't something I necessarily marked on my shelves over the years.
Neither.
And I know that I've read books with really quality mental health portrayals. And then the list, I mean, it's overwhelming. Go over to the Buzzing About Romance Threads if you want a full comprehensive list, because there were like over 35 books wrecked over there. And most I've never read. But I was trying to think about it. And I don't know that I have an author that is my go-to, like, always gets mental health correctly. But I do have a lot of individual titles. Like, you know, one of the first ones I thought of was Baden by Sawyer Bennett.
Mm.
You know, Sophie is dealing with PTSD and anxiety from, you know, her attack. And that was a really great example of loving them through their moment and not trying to cure or fix the moment.
I also thought of Stone in that series.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of grief in Stone's book, and Cohen too. Cohen definitely doesn't handle his.
Well, and Harlow dealing with her, her addiction and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we don't see a lot in romance, is it dealing with addiction or even life after addiction and how you manifest your life post-addiction. I am sure that I have read books where someone's a recovering addict or a recovering alcoholic, but again,
yeah, they're like itching at the back of my head. Like I can,
but I couldn't like immediately come up with them. Actually, I just finished Mr. Heartbreaker from Piper Rain, and I will say the hero in that book does not drink because of his family history of alcoholism. And he drank in college in like the first year or two that he played, and he realized that if he kept on that, he wouldn't stop. So now he's a soda water and lime kind of guy, which I think it's really well done, because there are many people that live in that, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, but there is a family history and there are things and I could easily become kind of thing.
I actually think that's really common. Like, and maybe it's just my age that I'm at, but like, I have several friends who are like, I was doing a lot of drinking and I wasn't liking the person I was becoming, so I just stopped. And like, they weren't an alcoholic, but they didn't like the road it was taking them on.
Yeah. Well, and Mike and I went through a period where we, you know, a couple cocktails here and there, you know, cocktails, and we've just really kind of scaled back and we don't. One, I feel like, first of all, I'm old. And the next morning, I feel like crap.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't got time for that. But also, like, we've hit a couple rough patches, especially in 2024. And I don't want to be, you know, a drunk. I just don't want to be. So I have to give myself rules and boundaries. Also, I can't afford it. It's expensive. Okay. So let's talk books. Let's give these people some book recs that we think have really great rep in them. I'll start us off. Stay Here With Me, The Wilder Brothers by Carrie Ann Ryan. PTSD. Okay. He also is suffering from a traumatic brain injury from when he was in the service. And then he also has survivor's guilt. And I know that Carrie Ann has a bunch of other books with really great mental health because she also does chronic illness incredibly well. And, you know, she puts a lot of time and she puts a lot of herself in her books, too. So Stay Here With Me, The Wilder Brothers. I think that one had some of the best that, like, you know, not all TBIs are exactly the same. You can still, you know, be a functioning, you know, you're not losing all abilities with it. You just, your brain works a little differently now. So that was really well done. Jenny, what do you got?
So I categorize mine by like disorder, and I made sure all my disorders were in the DSM.
Oh, we didn't do that.
I may have also used the DSM. That would be because we're nerdy.
Yeah.
Seriously, at 6:15, I was on my couch making my list. This was not my most productive day. So
we're also nerds, like sort of in the field.
Anyway, have at it.
Okay, so for depression, I have Night Shift's Back. And that's Night Shift's Black, book number one by Allie Styles. And that is actually her debut book that she published. And it is not like...
But it's not really a romance.
There's romance. There is an HEA. It is not written to the rules of romance. It's not told from the point of view of the hero. And like we get the heroine's point of view. But the... like male point of view is not the hero.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. But that whole series, she does a great job of, because the point of view we do get in book one is the hero in book two. And I always think she does a great job of, like you were saying, love doesn't fix it. It's just like a support for it.
Yeah.
Does really great at that. And also for depression, I have What Saves Us, Postpartum Depression by Maggie Gates. Yeah. That was one of the most accurate portrayals of postpartum I've seen.
I agree. And I also feel like that book, that whole series deals really well with mental health, how you function, working through your life, especially with them all being first responders and how, because What Saves Us also deals with addiction. He's a recovering alcoholic. In book two, she's dealing with medical trauma from a lifelong illness. And then does he, I think he's good, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's crazy. But in the first book, I mean that with all the love and respect. I don't think he has anything. And then in the first book, it's stress of the job and the anxiety that comes with being with somebody that has a dangerous job.
Which is very stressful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have any other depression you want to mention before we move to Heather?
Becky and I did a quick shot on Rising West, which is also by Allie Styles in the Save Me series. And he is dealing with like the loss of a partner, being a single dad, and then brand new job across the country. And his depression doesn't, that's one of the books I would say, like it doesn't come out. Like you kind of see the underlines and then like as things ramp up, it gets a little harder to deal with. And I think if you live with depression, you can understand that like as it gets more stressful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Heather, what do you got? Give us three or four.
So one of my, it's a recent, it's called Lost in You by Brenda Rothert. It's actually a hockey romance. She's in a plane crash with her brother's best friend, and she has anxiety, like almost crippling anxiety. And she goes to therapy and has medication. Well, in the plane crash, she's not able to have her medication. And so she's coming off of her medication and she's trying and she's working through her anxiety, and it kind of shows the roller coaster of emotions. And she isn't sure how he would take it because he views her, and it's really, really well done how she's finally, you know, she's like, I have anxiety and this is how it comes out. And he's like, oh, well, that all makes sense. And so she kind of works through that. And then when they come back, into like the real world or whatever. And she's working through her anxiety and she's doing, you know, with her meds, and it's just very well done. And I think it really normalizes medication use to manage mental health. And I think that Brenda did a really great job of it. Another one that I really like, it's called Healing the Twin. It's by Nora Phoenix. And the covers are really great. That's Wander, by the way. You get one book of the twin in the first book in the Forestville series, and then this one is the second one. One of the male main characters is living through grief. His partner passed away and he's a single dad. And then the other one is the twin, and he really is struggling with codependency. He's always been very codependent on his brother and his brother, and how he works through that and depression. And it's written so well, and how he seeks therapy. He realizes, like, he interviews therapists and talks to therapists about it. It's just written very, very well. I have more, but
well, we'll get through. We'll go through. Holding by Alexandra House. So this book is really great. This is childhood best friends. Two lovers, second chance romance. They get married young. In the midst of being
married. Becky's recommending this book?
What?
And Becky's recommending this book? I know, right?
But they're like frenemies. Like, it's that childhood, it's brother's best friend. It's that childhood friend that was always around that you just kind of hated and grated on each other. But they end up married. They have a child together. And then they end up divorced because she's suffering from bipolar disorder and was undiagnosed. And then her diagnosis and needing meds, he's a pro hockey player. And it just, like, they just could not make it work. And she'd go on and off her meds. And that's something that happens with bipolar people with this disorder, that it can, you know, they can be med compliant for a while. And then they think, oh, I'm doing great. I don't need my meds anymore. And then they're no longer med compliant and chaos reigns. So they come back together and give it a second chance. And it talks a lot about medication and therapy and routine, and how he has to figure out how to love her within her routines, because she is not changing for that for him. She, you know, she's like, this is what works. This is how I stay healthy. And he has to figure out how to love her in that umbrella. And it's really well done. That whole series by Alexandra House is a really well done series. She also does the covers herself. Like, if you ever look at them, the illustrated covers, she does them herself. Another bipolar disorder, Unscripted with Malia by Melanie Moreland. She is diagnosed as bipolar in the midst of the book. And that's a rec for Melanie, which made me download it. Now it's on my Kindle. What?
As it should be.
As it should be. I think that's all for that one. One of the ones I really like is What Happened at the Lake by Vi Keelan. It deals with depression and anxiety. And at the beginning of that book, she has just completed 30 days inpatient. And is realizing that she needs to get away from her triggers, which her mother is one of her triggers. And she had lost her job, and, you know, she's doing her therapy virtually. It's mentioned in the book. I do think we experience a couple of her therapy sessions, or just maybe pieces of them. But it talks openly about therapy, about how she had to go inpatient to get her meds regulated because her anxiety and the way her body functions, she just could not manage it outpatient, which is really great because we don't get a lot of rep like that, that sometimes right. you have to, you know, be inpatient to get those meds.
Yeah, Easton went inpatient. It was very so good.
Okay, Jenny, what do you got?
Sticking with the bipolar, I have Banana Pants by Penny Reed, which he also has ADHD and she has anxiety. And bipolar, I don't know as well, but I definitely feel like she did a really great job of expressing his internal thoughts and how he struggles with like being okay with his diagnosis too, and how that affects others.
Yeah, you know, that kind of is something different we don't always see, right? Where they're okay with their diagnosis. They've had it for a minute. They know how to function within it. And it's kind of a...
Yeah.
Love me as I am.
Yeah. Yep. And also for bipolar, I do not think that we ever see the diagnosis, like the specific diagnosis in the book, but... he's inpatient as well, and she is like a volunteer at the place that he's inpatient, called Hoping for Hemingway by Kelsey Kingsley. It's an age gap. She's older, and it's just a really emotional, like, they're both, because she's older, she's struggling with like being single and older, and he's struggling with like family history of mental illness and what that means for him.
And no icks because he's impatient and she's there in a professional capacity?
She is a volunteer and they do not, like, participate in anything why he is in the hospital. And, like, he actually is in the hospital when they meet. He leaves. That's when they start having a relationship, okay. Like, shortly after. It's definitely, like, friends. They build up to it. And he goes inpatient again and there's actually no contact when he is inpatient.
Interesting. What do you got there, Heather?
This is going to shock no one, but I have a few MM ones. Easton's Mail Mail. I have Kyan's Focus. It's by Misty Walker. It's part of the Briggs Ferry Bay. There is grief, anxiety, depression. So Kyan... lost his partner, and so he's dealing with grief. His sister calls him and she's in like a massive depressive episode and is really struggling to function as a parent, and so he comes and he, like, it's both, and so it's very well done. Yeah, I really like it. There are trigger warnings. I just looked at it today. So Misty has some trigger warnings, but it's very good and very well written.
Any others?
I have another one, and I don't know if I feel like it's handled. Like, he does work through his anxiety and depression, but one of them doesn't. But it deals with some pretty heavy things. It's called On the Mountain by Riley Hart, and there's the two male main characters. One of them is like suffering from serious religious trauma. So his dad ran a cult. And so he's kind of dealing with that. And then the partner has depression and anxiety, isn't on meds, and it really works hard to get to work through it, and has some depressive episodes and how they kind of work through that.
Excellent. Okay, so I have Little Lies by Helena Hunting, but they never exactly say, I mean, she has anxiety, she's working through it, but I would venture to guess that there's some other unnamed diagnosis.
I feel like it's PTSD. Oh, no. That's Bitter Sweetheart, right?
Yeah, Bitter Sweethearts, I think, is more PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say he definitely has anxiety in Little Lies, too. And that's more of a, like, they're both scarred from that one event, but he also genetically, like, A Lie for a Lie, his mom
talks has about
anxiety.
I think that one's well done. Other anxiety, Sound Off. It's a novella by Kelly Kay. It's part of her coach, the Coach House Chronicles. It's a novella. It deals with anxiety for the female main character and sobriety for the male main character. Troublemaker by Jessica Peterson. Grief and anxiety in that one. Heather and I did a quick shot on that one. And I feel like that was really well done. And that's something that I was thinking about as I was working through this. Grief looks so different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just have to be grief of someone dying. Like, what's it called? At First Spite by Olivia Dade. She's dealing with grief of the loss of a relationship, that her relationship is over. And it is, you have to mourn those things. And it can.
Right. It just like having a chronically ill child, you have to grieve the loss of like what you thought life was going to look like.
Right.
Oh, for sure. For both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something we probably could do a whole episode on grief. Because I think that's something we do see quite a bit. This one was for you, Heather. Made for You by Natasha Madison. It deals with depression and talk of suicide. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Talk about that one if you want.
No, I actually really like it. Forced him into retirement, and he kind of became a recluse because he wanted to manage his anxiety and depression, and the people that needed to support him wouldn't.
Yeah. And it was kind of that toxic masculinity from the locker room that he wasn't getting, which I think is very real, right? Like we see this with men in mental health that, you know, depending on what your job is, it might not be as accepted for you to have to say, yeah, I take antidepressants or I'm on anti-anxiety meds. And I think that also in Made for You, wasn't he kind of bullied a little bit too?
He was. And so it kind of forced him into retirement. And then he realized, you know, she's like this from this hockey family. And they convinced him to come back and they were very supportive and then like very outspoken about mental health, which I think is good. And there are several players right now in the NHL that are pushing for more mental health awareness and the player assistance program. And yeah. What feels real.
A Dish Best Served Hot by Natalie Kenya. He has PTSD from being in the military. She works at the community center specifically helping LGBTQIA youth. So it kind of brings a spotlight in. And I kind of like that sometimes where it's used as a side. Like it's not the whole story. Mm-hmm. So yes. Because of her role within the community and how she works and where she works, she's dealing with a lot of individuals that have issues. And that also kind of shows you that you don't always know what people around you are dealing with.
Right. And everyone's path to help or to manage their mental illness or their struggles is not the same.
Right.
And not everyone has access to healthcare the way that you know what I mean? And they don't, finding a therapist is hard and it's expensive and taking meds sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. And so finding what works for you or them, I think that's important in books too, because there isn't one way to do it.
One of the things I do find a little frustrating in some of these books that have really great rep is like, and we talked about a little bit before we started, how easily they find a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, are you all kidding me? Because, like, it's a whole process. And you're not just calling the therapist's office and be like, I need an appointment today. It's not happening.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really liked about Nora Phoenix and Healing the Twin. There was a waiting list. And he was like, there's a waiting list. And so happens that his like partner is a doctor. And he's like, yeah, it's a definite need, but it's, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. So Kennedy Ryan's Before I Let Go, it deals a lot with therapy, but not necessarily for mental health diagnosis. He's in therapy to become a better role model for his son, but also allow him to repair his relationship with his ex-wife. But it's not like, it is mental health, but it's not like a specific disorder. But I do like that. And I think that that is something that can be, therapy, I think, can be used as a plot point.
Right. And I have not read that book yet, but I would say you can use, like, that's a healthy way of making sure it doesn't become a bigger issue, right?
Right.
Like, he's trying to repair things before the trauma can manifest into something bigger.
Okay. Jenny, you got a book you want to talk about? Just throw books out, you guys. We are in it.
I have a couple for autism spectrum disorders. Imperfect Chemistry, the Imperfect series by Mary Frame. I think she's also an author that does mental health correctly.
I didn't even think about books with like autistic main characters.
And I also have Perfectly Adequate by Julianne. He's a doctor. I think she's a patient of his soon to be ex-wife. And he is the one on the spectrum. And it was, I don't always love Julianne's writing. Like, she can write all across like everything. But I love this book.
Maisie Eddings does a really great job with autism spectrum disorder representation. She had her dentist book. The hero in that book is absolutely autistic, and it's, you know, they're in dental school, like oral surgeon school, so like intensity of school, but. You know, like
the rigidness.
What?
Need the schedule.
The rigidness.
Yeah, the rigidness of it and stuff.
Well, I'm gonna say Riley Hart, again, she writes some really great boyfriend goals. One of them is very on the spectrum and very, very rigid. Like, the opening scene is him talking about getting like waking up in the morning, and he has a routine in the morning, and then getting dressed, and it was like, whew, right out of the gate, you were like, hi, you are definitely, or definitely. I think it's hard to find women represented with autism. And The Girl He Used to Know by Jarvis Graves, it's not a romance. I know it's not a romance, but it is very good. And I really like it. It's written very well.
I would say, I know a lot of people will say Chloe Lisi or Talia Hibbert, and I think they do fine. I struggle sometimes with both their books. I know that both of them have different books that have characters on the spectrum. I struggle with them a little bit. I think for Talia Hibbert, it's the writing style that I struggle with. And for Chloe, I just, her books aren't for me. But I do like, she has Ever After Always, which is a marriage in crisis book, and it deals with anxiety, and it shows some very real life things that can happen when you're in the midst of a panic attack, and some of the whole body issues that can happen, like it talks about impotence and lack of sexual drive. He starts to have a panic attack and is driving home and shits himself, you know, because his stomach is churning and he, you know. So I like that because that's not something other people talk about. Like, you know, a panic attack isn't just like, you know, shaking in the corner. It can be a whole spectrum of ways it presents. And sometimes it's, you know, vomiting or, you know, pooping. Who knows? Let's see here. What else? Oh, so we talked earlier before we started that we don't see a lot of OCD rep that's well done in books. And if you haven't read Perfectly Imperfections, Perfect Imperfections by Mariah Enkman. So it deals with OCD and it is the same type of OCD. She's very open about it. Mariah talks about how she was diagnosed late in life with OCD, and the heroine in that book has the same kind of OCD that Mariah is living with. And so that was just incredibly well done. What else?
I have Geared in Mind by Penny Reed for OCD, Shelley. Mm-hmm. Again, yeah. I don't think it's like directly labeled in the book, but she's come out and talked about it since. And it's just very interesting because Shelley has a way of how she's always dealt with it. And like part of that has been like blocking off other people. Yeah. So she has to
support. So Danielle, Kate Coffee and Books, who is a member of our Patreon, she recommends The Baller by Lulu Moore. And then Those Two Words by Ronnie Matthews as being really great mental health rep. She didn't say specifically what. And let's see here. So Mariah Enkman also recommended The Bottom Line by Toby Carter, My Dear Watson by Elm Jed. I, again, went ahead and just added them to my Kindle today because I love Mariah's voice and she is a huge advocate for disability rep and that, you know, talking about her voice and her stories and how love doesn't fix everything and how important it is to remember that, you know, disability deserves to be treated with respect and kindness. So I think if she's recommending a book, mm-hmm. we probably should take notes and listen.
I agree.
Heather, you got any others over there in your...
I don't. And I, like you, have not... I haven't really done a great job of, like, shelving them or tracking them. So I changed that for 2025. I've already worked on my tracker. But when I went on to Goodreads, people... Twisted Emotions by Cora Riley was on there. I've read that multiple times. I can kind of see PTSD, anxiety. Another one that was mentioned was For the Fans by Nyla Kay. I've read that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it did, but.
I think it's all subjective. Done and Done by Leonor Solis, Anxiety and Depression, and he has it. And I like that. If you guys haven't read Leonor, when I did the episode for Hispanic or Latinx Heritage Month, and I had Natalie and Angela and Carla on with me, and I asked them, I said, what author are people sleeping on that they don't realize has an amazing voice and tells, and Natalie Kenya, who we all love, right? Like, she is top tier. She's like, Leonor Solis, why are people not reading her? And I don't know if you know this, she designs all her own covers too. She knew she couldn't afford to do the covers she wants to do, so she taught herself how to make the covers she wanted. But I do like her books. She loves a slow burn, though. These are Jenny books. These are not necessarily Heather books.
That's fair.
These are Jenny books. Like, True Connections, Slow Burns, like, A Lot of Friends to Lovers. True
Connection, too, but I do like it when they get there faster.
Right. Jenny likes the journey.
I do.
That's like, I do feel like that needs to be a sticker. Jenny is here for the journey. Heather's here for the jump.
For the spice.
Jenny, do you have any other books that we...
Yeah, I have quite a few, actually. For Addiction, Where We Go Wrong by Kelsey Kingsley. Oh my, that was a rough book for me. It is a romance. It ends in an HEA. You got to get through some stuff. Like, the hero actually, like, introduces the heroine to drugs, and then they both have to go through their own journey of getting clean.
So they're an active addiction.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For most of the book. So, yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
I also have Selective Mutism, for The Sound of Silence, M.L. Philpott. Trauma caused her mutinism. She only talks to her sister. But then we kind of... Jill Ramsauer has one.
Jill Ramsauer has Silent Vows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Silent Vows is a selective mute. And actually, the daughter in Natalie Kenya's book, A Dish Best Served Hot, the daughter is nonverbal. So, which...
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I feel like there's something else we read. It must be the Jill Ramsauer book that I'm thinking of. I feel like there was something else we read where someone was selectively mute. Is there a, maybe a Katie Robert, one of her Desperate Measures books? Her villain. I don't know. Anyway, it's fine. Okay. Any others that you must get out?
I have at least one.
Go.
For PTSD, Guarding Shadows by Hazel James and Allie Stiles. They wrote it together. And Hazel James, like, her husband is a veteran and struggles really hard with PTSD. So she was, in this book, it's a rock star and her bodyguard. And he is a veteran. And
I also think The Refuge by Susan Stoker. I think all of the heroes in, or all the people in that series, one of them has some PTSD from service and stuff, I think. And it deals heavily with therapy, doesn't it, in that series, Heather?
Yeah, I was also thinking Creek by E.M. Lindsay and Nara Phoenix. They're both amputees, and so they're dealing with PTSD. One of them... amputee was in the service, and one was a civilian.
Interesting. So, okay.
We cut Jenny off. Sorry, Jenny.
Sorry, Jenny.
Oh, no, that's fine. That I was like, it. I like that his PTSD, you don't have to be in the military to experience PTSD.
You do not.
You do not.
You do not. Okay. So I wanted to add this because I felt like this was really important just to make sure that we're being responsible advocates here. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, you are not alone. Help is available. In the U.S., you can call or text 988 to connect with a trained counselor at the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Whether you're experiencing mental health crisis, emotional distress, or just need someone to talk to, support is available 24/7. Don't hesitate to reach out. It's okay to ask for help. As somebody that's had to ask for help, that's had to have meds, that has had therapy, you are worth it. You are valued. Mm-hmm. Make sure you make the effort. Because we like having you here in this world.
Yes.
Okay. So that's all that. But, you know, now after, like, we love you. Talk to us. Now I'm going to be like, hey, guess what time it is? Woo! Not the best segue right there, right? That's okay. Okay, guys, guess what time it is? It is time for Book of the Week, episode 1572. That I still don't have an echo. Someday, Jenny. What's your book of the week?
My book of the week is X Marks the Spot by Hazel James, which this is completely different from the other book. It's in the Smarty Pants romance universe, Teacher's Lounge, book number 3. So they were collegehood sweethearts, broke up for a reason, and end up as a team on a, like, Amazing Race type game show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very mac and cheese read, but it like they're traveling the world, like eating and trying to figure out how things went wrong in college. So it's
fun.
Nice.
It was fun.
Fun. Heather, what is your book of the week?
I read Claim by Anna Hackett. It is the final book in the Fury Brothers series. I literally sat down on Friday night and I finished it that same night. It's a pretty quick read. Girl on the run. He protects her. There's a little bit of an age gap. Serial killer. Found family. All the things that I love the most. And in New Orleans. So it was really good. And Anna Hackett, I just love her, but she gives us little like breadcrumbs of what's coming. And so I'm like, oh, I can't wait for what is coming.
You guys have really liked this Fury Brothers series. It's found family. And I know that as a book has come out for it, you all have talked nonstop about it. So
yeah, it's good.
Jenny,
and their heroines are amazing.
Might have to pull the plug.
And yeah, I was like,
take a leap.
Sounds interesting.
Right. Okay, so I really had a hard time picking a book of the week this week because I actually read. So we held our first silent book club on Tuesday. Uh-huh. Or no, was it last Monday?
Monday.
Last Monday.
It was Monday.
I read a whole book. Like, I finished 4 books this week, you guys, and I can't tell you the last time I've done that. Silent Book Club, it was so fun. It was exactly what I needed. We're going to do another one this coming week. If you're part of Patreon, you got the invite. Right now, they are Patreon exclusive. But it's really holding me accountable because I sat there for 90 minutes and I read. And I didn't scroll my phone. We read, well, I guess it was really about an hour we read. And then we chatted for about 45 minutes and just kind of caught up on things. So that was really, it was really good. So, but that helped me like get the momentum to read this week and not futz around. So I picked a book. It comes out October 22nd and I have a spotlight interview with these co-authors coming out on the release day. So I'm talking about Icebreakers by Elise Faber and Kat Mazira. It is book one in their Game Breaker series. You guys, this book was so good. It was so, so good. He is a hockey player. She is, they're saying rags to riches. She is just working her butt off, working 2 jobs. She cleans the arena overnight, and then at night she bartends. So she's just working, struggling, living in LA, trying to make ends meet. And she meets him for the first time as she's coming out of the arena and he's trying to get in and he forgot his badge and he's wearing his like hoodie hood up on his head and she doesn't recognize him because she doesn't really know the hockey players. And she's got like her keys between her fingers and she's like kind of growly at him. He's like, "What are you, a rabid raccoon?" And he refers to her as like a rabid raccoon all the time. It was so cute. It was so fun. And then there's kind of like a Clark Kent moment in the next chapter where she's hired, he and some of his friends own a members only kind of club. It is not a strip club. It is a members only club though. They call it a gentleman's club. And when I read gentleman's club, I thought strip club. It is not though. Yeah, it's just like a membership club kind of thing.
Like in Bridgerton, how they have like the,
yes,
where they go like,
okay.
Which, yeah. I guess those are kind of popular out on the West Coast. Cause I went looking cause I was curious. It is kind
like, of like, how do I get into,
no, it's like with the Elks
out. Can you imagine a mom's club? Now think about when your kids are little, you go to a house, everything is clean. There's snacks, there's Wi-Fi.
Right.
And then all the moms, you know, pick up after themselves because they're moms. And then you just pay, and then nobody knows where you are. You're just at this club and right, you don't talk to each other.
So
does that sound how amazing?
It reminds me of like the Moose or the Elks here. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have a membership fee, you go, but no crazy rituals or anything like that. So They own this club, she's a bartender at the club, and she doesn't recognize him, and he does not recognize her at first. And then she recognizes him, but he still doesn't recognize her. Anyway, it's just really good. There are four friends, and what keeps them together is they played hockey together in college. I'm just talking all over the place on this book. Anyway, just read Icebreakers by Elise Faber and Kat Mazira. I was super impressed, and I really loved it. I just didn't know if I was going to love it, but I did, so. Because you never know, right?
I know.
Okay, so Patreon update. We talked about this last week, but I just figured I needed another week. Celebrating 1 year in the Hive is Amy and Marcy. 4 years are Mindy, Heather, Nikki, and Carrie in the month of October. This month's Patreon swag packs are sponsored by Renee Rose and Samantha Gale. Did anybody see Merritt's IG story? She got to meet Renee Rose over the weekend.
Oh, I did.
Because there was a signing in the Netherlands and she went as an author. And then she got to meet Renee Rose. She's like, I embarrassed myself.
Renee is so sweet, though.
So sweet. I'm sure she really enjoyed meeting Merritt and didn't feel like she needed a restraining order or anything. Make sure you join us back here Wednesday for our discussion of Crimson Covenant by Samantha Whiskey. And then join us next Sunday as we prep for the World Series with all of our baseball romance book recs. So
I'm assuming Lindsay will be there.
I think it's Lindsay and Amanda.
Okay. I'm like,
yeah.
Not me.
Not me.
My baseball recs are pretty small, and I'm pretty sure, like, I feel like I've given them all already, but you know, we haven't done a baseball focused episode.
We haven't?
No, we did other sports, but we've never done we've done football, we've done hockey, but we've never done just baseball. So
that's a travesty because baseball pants are awesome.
I mean, although wasn't it at the beginning of the season that they were pretty much see-through and like ripping?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That was all over the tiki-tiki. Those
swim trunks that you see on TikTok. Like
dissolve. It dissolve, yes. For a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find the current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. October and November are both out right now. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. There, I got it all out. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and joining me for this episode. I know it wasn't all fun and games, but it was important.
It's an important topic.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.